What's going on, y'all? Freedom. Welcome to Freedom of Mind. It's your boy Ray Will. It's just gonna be me on this show today, on this episode, right? So basically, I'm gonna be talking about life behind bars, life in prison, just my perspective of it. And I got a little bit of knowledge of it, you know. No, I never went to jail myself or prison myself. I've never even committed a crime. And no, I'm not trying to act like I'm all that, you know, either. If you might want to think that, but no, not at all. No, so not that perspective. Also, y'all, stay tuned for Speak Your Mind next. I'm touching on a very sensitive issue that's been going on, obviously. Yeah, let me touch on it. The George Floyd situation. You know, yes, I hope that Chauvin gets convicted. You know, I feel that he killed George Floyd. The whole world had a chance to witness that horrific event. So I got strong opinions on, you know, regarding that situation. All right, y'all. So stay tuned, y'all. Freedom of Mind. Going on, y'all. Ray Will here, Freedom of Mind, Speak Your Mind segment right here. Check this out. Okay, right now I want to speak my mind about pretty much accountability. So where I'm at is, obviously, we got the George Floyd case going on right now. Actually, it shouldn't be called the George Floyd case. It should be called the Chauvin case, right? I believe that's his name. So right now, it's a situation where it is a trial. It's strange to me a little bit that they're covering the trial like on like some kind of app or something like that. You know, we can recall the OJ trial where, you know, it was heavily publicized. It was everywhere. A lot of people were covering it. We can get with the pop culture folks, you know, the comedians and the TV shows and all that were bringing it up. But more importantly, it was the media, major media, who kept covering it over and over again. But in this case, we got, you know, we don't really have the major media really covering it as much, right? So, you know how I am, you know, or anybody, for those who's tuning in or whatever, me, I like to bring up race because it's the reality. Yeah, I'm not going to sit around and pretend like it's not going on. It is. It's a major problem. Racism is a major problem in this society. It really is. And people try to downplay it like it's not, but it really is. But anyhow, so people want to, there's people that want to make it seem like, or they really believe that, Floyd died from, for drug overdose, right? You know, the autopsy says otherwise, said that he died from, you know, lack of oxygen. You know, he pretty much suffocated. People were saying, well, how is it that he said that he can't breathe, you know, and all this or whatever? Well, that's what people naturally say when they can't breathe. They're not actually not breathing anymore. They can still breathe, but that's their alarm saying that I may not breathe anymore soon. See, when you can't breathe anymore, you absolutely have no more air in your system. No more air in your brain. No more air pumping through your heart, or, you know, for your heart completely. That's what that means. That's just like this. When someone drowns, right? When you drown, that's it. There's no such thing as drowning. You understand? Like, so if someone is in a pool and they're like, Oh, I'm drowning. I'm drowning. There is no such thing. Either you drown or you don't. That's the same thing with breathing. Either you're breathing anymore or you're not. You understand what I'm saying? So when people say that, it is very alarming. It means, okay, let's try to save this person. Let's try to, get this person for them to breathe better again. Let's keep this person from not breathing. You understand? So that's what that means. So people want to be all silly about it. And that's common sense. People know these things. They just say silly stuff like this or whatever just to try to justify what Chauvin did, right? And make no mistake, Chauvin murdered him. Point blank period. He murdered George Floyd. And then there's people sitting up there, you know, judging George Floyd. You know, like it is totally irrelevant what this man did in the past or whatever. It still doesn't justify anyone killing him. Now, if you are okay with him being killed, that's another issue. And that's something that you need to bring forth among yourself and be like, you know what? I'm glad that someone died and they didn't do absolute shit to me. Okay, now you have a problem. Okay, so yeah, we need to hold Chauvin responsible. And let me say this too. I know he's a cop, he's law enforcement, and we need law enforcement. It's important. Law enforcement is very important in our society, in our country. Don't get me wrong, but you have to maintain a balance. You do. So, you know, that being said, justice for George Floyd and his family. And hey, y'all, be accountable. Seriously, hold people accountable when they do bad things, because if you don't, then they're going to continue to do it. And then that's going to mess things up. It's going to set you back. That's going to set your family back. If people continue to get away with bad things, okay? Speak your mind, y'all. Yep. Right now, just chilling, y'all. And, you know, I was, you know, thinking that maybe I should bring up and discuss kind of like what I do. You know, I'm a correctional officer. That's, you know, I've been doing it for a little over a year now, so not very long, but long enough to share some experiences with you, but I can't do that, you know, for privacy reasons, you know. But I could share with you guys, or kind of express to you guys about, you know, generally a general look at, you know, how it is in a prison. And, you know, obviously I can't give you it from a prisoner standpoint or point of view, but I can't give it to you from like a general standpoint and somewhat from a corrections standpoint, right? So pretty much, right? So I just kind of want to like just kind of break it down a little bit, right? Because some people may be curious. And I would say this too, like, you know, some people may think that it's a scary place, or some people may think that it's a horrific place, or it has its moments. I tell people it really does. There's times where it can be pretty, you know, graphic maybe, or it can be pretty violent. And there's times where it's pretty, you know, pretty much not very eventful, and, you know, it's just regular operations. And, you know, since I said that, operations is pretty much the normal functionings that's going on in a prison, you know. And prisons are ran like pretty much like a military, you know, even with the ranks of the officers. You know, you have your regular, you have your COTs, then you have your COs, and then your seniors, sergeants, lieutenants, you have your associate wardens, and you have your wardens, right? Then you have the director. So it just goes off and so forth. And then obviously, you have, you know, when you're talking about state prisons, you know, you have your governor, right? So that's pretty much chain of command. But, you know, with operations, it's obviously, you know, prisoners are under our custody, right? So they need their bare essentials, right? They need their food, they need their clothing, shelter, we provide those things for them. And I don't want to say prisoners, let me say inmates. That's what we call them, and that's what they should be properly called, so my mistake. Inmates, right? So inmates get these bare necessities, right? And then obviously if they, you know, pretty much if they behave and they, you know, money is involved in it, they have enough money, or they can, you know, people could put money in their books, you know, they can get other things, right? Like kind of sort of like privileges, like, you know, they can get, you know, food from coming from the outside, you know, they can get nice little snacks and things like that, and even clothing, you know, to a certain point, right? You know, the hats maybe, or, well, not hats, sorry, excuse me, not hats, but, you know, nice shoes, you know, maybe better socks, you know, shirts, better underwear, stuff like that, you know. But with the operations, you know, like I said, they need their, you know, breakfast, lunch, and their dinner. You know, then, you know, they need time, you know, they get their time to, they kind of go outside of the prison a little bit. They go out into what we call the yard and spend a little time out, you know, just a little bit outside of their unit that they live in, you know, do, you know, recreational stuff, basic recreational stuff like basketball, you know, maybe football or something like that, handball, or, you know, exercise, you know, and then, so that's pretty much like that, it, you know, normal daily functions. They also spend a little bit of time outside of their cells, but within the unit, still inside the unit, that's called tier time, so, you know, they do things like that. And then I want to bring up lockdown, right? So pretty much with lockdown, that's when a lockdown is usually enforced by a higher rank, and that's usually a warden. And the reason why wardens do that is because something tragic happened from within the prison. So pretty much, like, maybe usually it's an inmate. So that's what it is. Inmates have done something, pretty much. Inmates may have assaulted or maybe even killed or brutalized another inmate or a staff worker. So, you know, so when that happens, then usually the warden shuts down or locks down the prison. So I saw something on social media not too long ago, and it was crazy. You know, an inmate, you know, had a CO hostage. I believe it happened in Oklahoma, and that's pretty tragic, you know. But, you know, they got a hold of a phone. I don't know whose phone they got a hold of, because you're usually not supposed to bring phones inside the prisons, you know. But I don't know how, you know, clearly, you know, he must have smuggled it in there, or got it smuggled in there, or someone in the staff gave it to him. Who knows, you know. But anyhow, you know, they're recording it. You know, one of the inmates is recording his fellow inmate having a correction officer hostage, right? And then come to find out that later on, other COs, you know, shot the inmate, and they were able to retrieve the officer. And they said the officer appeared to not be seriously injured, but they don't know for certain if he's all right. But it seems like he is. But so that's good news. But the reason why they said that they did that was because they were on lockdown, and they said that they didn't get their showers, because that's another thing that that they usually get on normal operations. They get their showers and they get their phone times. So because of that, they felt that they wasn't getting treated, you know, fair, getting treated fairly. They didn't get their normal functions that they felt that they should have received. And, you know, they did, you know, one of them did that. So that's one of the times where it can get pretty violent and it can get pretty hostile in prisons, you know, with the inmates. You know, they get pretty much pissed off. They get fed up, you know, at the, you know, at corrections. And, you know, they may do stuff like that, you know. So that's pretty tragic. And my opinion about that, my personal opinion about that situation is, it's like, first of all, you know, lockdown sucks. It does. But it's above my pay grade and I got to do my job. And I can't understand why there are lockdown situations, honestly. But, you know, you got to keep a balance, like I said about law enforcement earlier, because technically, yes, corrections are law enforcement. So you got to have a balance. You really do, man. I really feel that way. You know, you can't just look at it from just one end of the spectrum, you know, but you got to have to, what I mean by balance is that you have to be firm, but you have to be consistent, and you have to be fair, right? Firm, fair, and consistent. You got to have those three elements to be, a good, correction officer or a good officer. You really do. You know, you got to be fair because, again, you know, you're not always right. And then, you know, you don't want to judge, right? And then also, you know, you may not be right all the time, you know, about your decision making. You know, there might be a situation to where an inmate, because, you know, they're human too. And, you know, a lot of them aren't dumb. You know, that's another thing. They're not dumb people. They're not. But, you know, they may be like, you know what, you know, this is unfair. And, you know, you realize, you know what, it is unfair. You know what, so I'm going to go ahead and ease off. It's not like you're giving in. It's just that, you know, you didn't know. You didn't have the best solution or the best answer for that situation. Why? Because you're human. You're human too. And you're not going to always be right. But you got to be firm because, you know, what if it was a situation to where they're trying to take advantage of you? You know, so, you know, you got to be aware of that. And then obviously you have to be consistent, because if you're too much of the same all the time, it can be a bad thing. Because let's say if you're too nice all the time, you know, like I said, they can take advantage of you. But if you're too just hardcore all the time, super cop, that can get the best of you. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be really careful with that. So if you got a good consistency going on to where you're making good decisions, but at the same time, you know, good decisions means that maybe sometimes it's good to listen to others. You know what I'm saying? But you don't want to be too much on that. You don't want to be too dependent on others. But at the same time, you got to be able to be confident in yourself to make good decisions as well. So that's their consistency. So, and let me kind of go over some other things. You know, I want to bring up race in prison, right? So, as we know, and people probably already know, that most prisons are segregated. You know, they're segregated by race and ethnicity, right? So obviously, you know, you got black, white, then you have Hispanic, and, you know, obviously that's very prevalent in more of like Hispanic populations. That's usually in the west coast of the United States, but it's you know, there's Hispanics all over the country, but it's probably a little bit more prevalent in the west coast, and then probably the east coast as well, you know, because of the Latino communities that they have in the East Coast as well, right? So, probably not so much the South and probably not so much the Midwest, but, you know, but it is classified that way. So, you got black, white, you got Hispanic, You got Asian, you got Pacific Island, and you got American Indian. That's pretty much how that is, right? So, you know, things can get pretty rough. So that's why the prisons separate that, and then it gets very political, right? You know, obviously, you got a lot of them, they affiliate themselves with each other, right? You know, so usually, typically, you know, blacks may affiliate themselves among each other, among themselves, and then, you know, they do it for a number of reasons, right? And, you know, whites affiliate themselves with each other, and then Hispanics, and then so forth and so forth. And then a lot of them are obviously part of gangs, or they join gangs, or they already been affiliated or part of them. And, you know, so, you know, usually gangs are formed or have been formed within race, you know, the origins of it. Like if you think of Bloods and Crips, particularly, you know, Crips is pretty much a network of many sets or hoods, as, you know, people like to call it, and, you know, from that originated in Los Angeles. And the reason, a big reason why they formed was because of police brutality. So you got, you know, youngsters gathering together and forming sets, and a number of sets got affiliated with each other, and that's where you got Crips. So obviously we know Stanley Tookie Williams helped form the Crips. So, you know, race does play a big part in the reason why it formed. And then obviously, you know, you got whites with white supremacists, gangs that they have, and then Hispanics with their gangs that they have, and then so forth and so forth. So you got these organized gangs, if you will, that dominate these prisons. And so, you know, you got to keep that in mind, you know, in prison and the type of things that are going on. So that's the last thing that a prison wants, is for, you know, obviously riots and, you know, race wars going on in prison, because that's pretty big, right? And kind of like what I mentioned on my Speak Your Mind segment, where, yeah, race is a bigger issue than people make it seem like it is. You know, they downplay it. So, obviously, I wish that things weren't like that, you know, to where, you know, it's divided by race. I would say this, though. I would say that I think that we have to acknowledge it, you know, ignoring the fact that, just denying race, to me, is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of silly, you know. It is because when you look at me, you know, you see a black man, you see a man who has dark skin, and then it's not just my skin either. See, that's what people say, oh, it's his skin. No, it's features as well, right? You know, my thick lips and my wide nose, my thick hair, my dark eyes. I mean, it's obvious, right? So that I like to just say, like, people acknowledge other species more than we do our own, right? And then if you talk about the word human hue, that's like a color. And then man, that's us. So you got human, right? Does that make sense? So that's acknowledging right there about our different complexions and our different colors that we have from within our own. So why is it that we're able to acknowledge more of other species than our own? Like, so we acknowledge, we acknowledge dogs, we acknowledge cats, we acknowledge birds, right? So we know that they're different, but one of the same. You know, we know that a Chihuahua is different from a pit bull. So if we're raising, let's say that you have two pit bulls and you have two Chihuahuas, right? You're not going to try and mate a pit bull and Chihuahua together. You're going to try and mate two Chihuahuas together. Why? Because we acknowledge what they are. We know that they're all dogs, but we know that there's different breeds of dogs. So that's just my example. I'm not saying that we can't, you know, have interracial relationships. I'm not saying that. I'm saying to acknowledge it. You know, don't try to sit up there and just be like, no, you know, race doesn't exist. Like, stop it. It does. You know, people, the wrong people try to take advantage of that and, you know, and try to, like, you know, I don't know, profit or take advantage of people because they're a certain color and all that kind of stuff. Like, no, that's, people don't need to be doing all that, you know. Or you hire certain people or get certain people involved that look a certain way. Like, no, that's just wrong. That's not, people don't do that because of race itself. People do that because they're just some fucked up people. You know, that's just pretty much what that is. So, but to me, I bring that up too because race, I mean, you know, prison kind of reflects reality. It really does. Because prison is, you know, it's so compact, right? You got all of these people right here. They're not spread out. They're not spread out as much. They're all in one facility, right? You got these different races of people that are in one facility, right? They're like, and a lot of them are in the same unit together. So, you know, for different reasons, you know, whether it's social reasons or even protection, or just someone who you can relate to. You know, you're going to pair up with them and you're going to be around them more. That's just how it is. You know, for a number of reasons. Like I said, it could be for racism. And, you know, for some it is. And see, but in the outside world, there's more space. So you can't really notice it as much, right? And then also, it's not as urgent. Right? It's not as urgent. You know, you won't feel maybe the person that you have a problem with, you know, for no logical reasons, which is racism. You know, when you're out in the world, you know, you're not probably going to really see a whole lot of blacks because they're at a bigger space for you not to be around them. Correct? So that's why when it comes to jail, you can see it. You can see things more clear, better. You can see it. It's more obvious. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially when it comes to race. Because, like I said, things, because they're just so close to each other in proximity, then, you show them more of how you really are, how you really truly feel about others, right? So that's what I mean by that. Okay. You know, cruelty for prisoners, right? Let's say this. So let me bring up like rights, right? So I think people may not know that as an inmate, you give up your rights. You give up some of your rights as a citizen, as an American citizen. And one of them is the Fourth Amendment, right? Where, you know, you're giving up your privacy, you're giving up your freedom to, you know, the state. So that's one of the things. But one of the things that you do have, I believe, is the 14th Amendment, right? And I believe that is, let me see. Oh, no, you know what? I think it's the 8th Amendment. Okay, yeah, the 8th Amendment. Sorry, excuse me. You have the 8th Amendment, or the inmate has the 8th Amendment, and that's protection against cruel and unusual punishment, right? So, you know, that can't go down. So, you know, if officer felt that an inmate, for whatever reason, was, you know, violating him or violating the prison or whatever, but he didn't really have lawful reason or legal reason to assault the inmate, then, or it could be a situation to where, you know, the inmate is being contained and for some reason, the officer does have, well, okay, the officer does have the inmate contained, but then for some reason, the officer does extra things, extracurricular things to the inmate for no lawful reason. So that's cruel, unusual punishment, right? So no, we can't have none of that. So does that go on a lot? Not really, no. You know, most officers try to avoid that, you know, because they don't want to go to court and they don't want to get sued or lose their job or anything like that, you know. And a lot of them are very aware of their rights. They are. I give them that, man. Like I said, a lot of inmates are smarter than what people think. Is a lot of judgment going on? Oh yeah. You know, so like I said, I don't want to get too spill beans or get, you know, too personal with the prison. But yeah, a lot of that stuff do be going on, man, and it's not right. It's really not. And let me kind of bring up to y'all. You know, what is it like a life as a prisoner from a correctional officer standpoint? You know, I can imagine, right? Let's say, like, you know, it's his first time in, and, you know, let's say he got sentenced for, he got a 5 to 10 sentence, you know, for, I don't know, he, you know, for Grand Theft Auto. So, he didn't commit a violent crime, right? So this is a different kind of prisoner, or inmate. So he goes into, you know, a prison, and felons go to prison. Obviously, they're not going to go to city jail, right? Or they're at least not going. They're not going to stay there, right? So, you know, he's in there, and I can imagine, you know, his first time there. You know, he's anxious. You know, he's going to do these different emotions. It's not just fear. Like I said, it's anxious, it's wonder. It's, like I say, it's some fear, or probably, you know, depends on the guy, whatever, whether if it's a lot or a little. But it's some form of fear. It really is. And, you know, so he's going there, and, you know, he's trying to figure things out. You know, probably some confusion, because you got to learn how to live in there. And then obviously you got to learn how to survive. So not only do you have to deal with, you know, what, you know, the corrections have for you to do and figure that out, but you have to figure out how this works and how to adjust to the inmates, right? And a lot of them have been in there before, right? So they know what to do. So, you know, because, you know, the first place where they take you to is, you know, what they usually call a fish tank. And that's those new incoming inmates coming in. So, you know, they're in that unit or in that area. And they're in there until they go to their permanent unit and cell. So, you know, they're inside their unit and cell in that area. And like I said, you know, if it's a new guy, you know, like, he's just figuring things out. You know, there's a lot of emotions going on. You know, the family is, you know, trying to figure it out as well, you know, how to cope with that. So, you know, that's just like a little bit of a something that they, you know, that they go through, you know. And like I said, I can't give you their exact standpoint, because, you know, obviously I'm not an inmate. But let me give you this take on how I feel, you know, with inmates, you know. Um, let's just say this. Let's say, like, you know how you got your seven deadly sins, right? And supposedly, you know, in the Bible, that no sin is worse or greater than the other. That means that if you kill someone, that is equivalent to if you committed adultery, right? So there's, you know, God looks at it like, you know, a sin is a sin. But from a human standpoint, no, that's not the case. Obviously, if you kill someone, you know, that's a worse thing to do to someone than if you committed adultery, right? So, you know, how people, let me give an example of celebrities. I don't know, I can't think of too many celebrities right now from the top of the dome who we know that killed someone. They're out there. I just can't think of it right now. I just can't think. But if you got a celebrity who kills someone or whatever, people are going to probably look at that person and judge that person differently than, let's say, a Tiger Woods who committed adultery. So, you know, we got to look at that, right? But me, my point, obviously, so with that being said, how I feel about that, like, obviously, if someone killed someone or whatever and went to jail or prison for it, you know, you're going to be a little bit aware of it. You're going to be cautious of it, of them, obviously. You are. You might treat them a little bit. I don't want to necessarily say treat them differently, but your outlook on them is going to be different than a person who did maybe theft. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the reality of it, man. But me, my thing is, if you violate me, then I feel that I have to take action. You understand what I'm saying? You don't give me a reason to take action. I don't care what the hell you did. And then obviously, you got those who, in a lot of inmates don't like it, is those who, you know, are in there for rape or for pedophilia, things like that, sex offenders and all that, you know. And, you know, I don't blame them. You know, now I don't condone or approve. I don't approve fatalities, but or even assaults, but I can understand why they feel that way. Yeah, and they do seem like hypocrites because they in there too and they committed a crime, they did something to go in there, so it's kind of like a hypocrite. But like I said again, you know, with these level of crimes that people commit, you know, it's just reality. Humans look at it a little differently, you know. Me, I do not have a whole lot of respect for pedophiles, rapists. I really don't. You know, and especially for, and it's even worse for those who have committed it, you know, more than once. And then also people, for those who have done things like that and you haven't been charged for it, you know, I don't have no love for people like that either. I really don't. You know, it's sickening, and yeah, you do have a problem, but at the same time, you wouldn't want anyone doing that to you or trying to do that to you. So, you know, it's wrong and you want to change your ways. So, I'm not really cool with things like that, and I'm not trying to judge, but that shit ain't cool, man. It's really not. And people, like I say, who gotten away with it, just because you got away with it doesn't mean that you're right. See, that's another thing. That's how people are. That's how a lot of people are. You know, if they haven't been caught with it or people don't know about it, then they go about it like it's nothing and they don't think they did anything wrong. And, you know, life is great. But when people catch them, oh, they're humble and they're like, oh, you know, I'm so sorry and all this. So, you know, get the fuck out of here, you know. So, but yeah, you know, so I'm just giving y'all little thoughts and opinions, my perspective of pretty much prison life. Like I say, I try not to judge, but, human nature gets the best of me sometimes. And, you know, you just be cautious, just be mindful about the things that people do. Like I say, I like to be firm, fair, consistent. You know, you gotta be, to me, I just feel like you have to be balanced, man. You can't be nice, but you know, you can't be just a straight up asshole. You know. And then a prisoner, y'all, you know, but with prisoners or with inmates, you know, do your time. Family members who have family who are inmates, you know, tell them to do your time. Stop bullshitting around, you know, and just be cordial, man. You know, stop giving officers a hard time. Stop giving your fellow inmates a hard time. And, you know, especially to those youngsters, you know, those youngsters feel like, you know, all this masculinity, or for the ladies, all of this estrogen, you know, and, you know, you just want to try to go out and prove yourselves and all that. It's like, relax, you know, nobody cares. Seriously, nobody cares, you know. And, you know, be cool, be easy, seriously. Those that are assaulting others, that are assaulting staff, correctional officers, or, you know, inmates, you know, stop that shit. That ain't cool. Family members, tell your family inmates that, please leave people alone, man. Do your time. Even lifers, seriously. You know, you can do the easiest time you can do if you just stop fucking around with people, seriously. So that's what I wanted to say. And that's all I have for you guys, y'all. And always remember to speak your minds, y'all. Freedom of mind.